And is Helen with us? Not so to speak. Perhaps she'll pop in. Randy, have you talked to Helen?
No, I haven't. I haven't talked to her this week.
Aha. So you all didn't get together and cut lines and stuff?
No, we were going to, but we couldn't make the time. She and I are on different schedules.
I see. And are you all, let's see, oops. Is it a good oops or a bad oops?
I left her a message, but she didn't get back to me.
Okay. You all ready for blessing?
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Good, good. Okay, let's do it together. Child
of wonder,
child of
flame,
nourish
our spirit and protect our aim.
It's interesting. Is aim singular, plural, or generative? It can be either, can it?
It is. Hmm.
So, curious word in that. But spirit is... Yeah, properly singular and plural. But one could say aims or aim. Our aims, our aim, so those collective things.
Yeah.
So, Dan, you get to go first. You rarely do get that privilege.
I feel special.
Well, you are special, and you should feel special. So, walking in joy, did that have any effect in your world this week?
It brought me a little bit of peace and stability in a rather tumultuous week.
Aha. Uh-huh. So, what causes tumultuosity?
Just some changes going on.
Of your own creation or of the world about you?
The changes that are going on were instigated by me.
Oh, really? You were attacking yourself?
No, just changes in my overall surroundings.
I see. Yeah, well...
It was something that wasn't a surprise. It's something that you and I have talked about in the past.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know quite well what you mean. Yeah, we've had some things like that, too. And but all ending in benefit, I would say. But... I don't know, for me, walking in joy sort of gives me a nice sense of the contrast between two different worlds. So you sound relatively sane in spite of tumultuosity.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Well,
things are going according to plan, the way that I thought they would be. I guess the way they should be.
So you stirred the waters and well, that's nice. It's nice when you do the stirring rather than the world at large, isn't it?
It is.
Sure.
I read something in a book this week that really kind of hit home with all that. It said that that we are capable of changing our entire course of life in the blink of an eye with one decision.
Yes, I think that we are. And if you do it as an act of power, it's more apt to stick. So, Randy, what kind of things did walking in joy do to delight your heart?
Well... walking in joy was definitely in contrast to my life right now. It was a hard one for me to feel a reaction from the universe on.
Tell us more.
Well, when I say it, it just didn't want to resonate with me.
Okay, okay. So your beliefs were in a different place.
Yes. My beliefs they were in a different place. I wanted to feel that I was walking in joy. Yet I didn't feel I was walking in joy.
Jennifer, does that sound familiar? Jennifer and I have been talking about that for about a year now.
Yeah, but I think mine's getting better.
No, I know, that's why I said.
Yeah.
That's what I said, because, Randy, I want you to understand, and that's why I said what I did. That was not just an aside.
Oh.
That, you know, there are lots of us who have been exactly where you are, and I wanted to give you a lot of courage and hope and encouragement to realize that this is only a condition that has to do with your current beliefs. Now, I know that may seem really hard to comprehend, but it is basically and principally your beliefs that create the reality that you see.
I would agree with that.
You know, because you've told us a little bit. You've told us a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah.
And of course, irregardless of what you think is so or right, when we find ourselves in somewhat of a pickle, either it's only an indicator, as it was with Tom, that you know, situation is no longer useful or is, say, wearing out its use.
Yeah.
Or it is because we are accepting the social or cultural belief about us.
Yeah. Well, I see what you're getting at.
So now what's interesting as a dynamic to understand about this is that when you are able to go out and greet and say walking in joy, and even though you think it's hollow, so to speak, because you say, well, I'm not feeling much joy in my life. You know?
Yes.
But you're saying, but if you have the vision that you would rather be in joy than where you are, then something will happen.
Yeah, I think you're right. I haven't tested it.
Well, then, you know, the belief that you may be stuck with is that you have come to the conclusion that you deserve the situation you find yourself in.
Yeah.
And if that is so, then that creates the situation.
Yeah.
And when you decide, no, that has nothing to do with me, and I will not match that in my tone, state, attitude, or anything else, then it has to go away.
I see. Yeah.
And I'm not going to skip you, Magnus. I'm just going to temporarily, because I want Jennifer to speak next, because she has fought with the same paradigm considerably and gotten some headway with it. Isn't that so, Jennifer?
Yeah, I'm starting to, like, getting the whack on the stick dawning here and there. It's not real strong, but it's coming around. And when I said the ritual, I felt an expansion like, you know, my vision. I could feel or see more, and I felt the lightness come through to me.
And so that's a transcendent state. And any powerful uplifting emotion, because of the flow of water and so forth, will carry us to a different place. And that's what is possible here. So, you know that book of Wayne Dyer's, I'll See It When I Believe It? Rather than I'll Believe It When I See It?
I've got a few of his, but I don't have that one.
Well, it's a powerful title, you see, because it puts a spin on a social conundrum.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so you might want to play with that principle to see if it works, that you'll see it when you believe it.
Yeah. That's a good outlook.
Magnus, how about you? What did Joaquin Joy do to make your world more rosy or serene?
Actually, this week, I think things played out well, but didn't have that distinctive indication of what it was that worked out well. Other than that, everything went okay.
So you say things worked out well, but you didn't know how they got there? Is that what you're saying?
Well, basically, I was with high expectations.
Okay.
Okay, and I was looking at things working out in a pronounced, joyous form.
Okay, okay.
But it did not come out that way. But on overall, I understood that there were things I was really, things that were really hard on me.
Okay.
It played out in a way I could say it wasn't as distinctive as, you know, it used to be after the week reading.
Okay, okay. I understand.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question, and it's a question all of you all can think of, about. What are you here for in life? What did you come into life for?
In life for, it's kind of confusing, but I kind of look at life as a set of patterns.
Now, I don't want to know what you think life is. I want to know what you came into life for. What was your purpose? What was your plan?
To fulfill all my dreams.
Okay. Okay, cool. So, what would that look like to you? If right now you were to say, I have fulfilled all my dreams, and I will have more dreams, and I will fulfill them. How would you feel?
I would feel great.
Okay.
But dreams are things that I look at it from this point of view. They keep on unfolding.
Okay. That is
after achieving your dream, you still have more goals and dreams to achieve.
Sure. Because desire energy is what moves life force.
Yes.
So that's fine. But so are you able to say that you are in the process of fulfilling your dreams?
Sure, I can say that.
Okay. And right now, at this moment, do you feel great or do you feel awful?
I feel great, or should I say it's a kind of mixed feeling, since there are certain things that have not, you know, come to pass.
Oh, okay. So you're, because something has not come to pass, you are allowing doubt to enter the equation?
I am not. I'm very optimistic that they will unfold. But it's just that they are not unfolding immediately. Maybe I'm kind of being hasty. But I know they will come to a joyous and conclusive form that I can look at. And I
okay, so what you're saying is you have a belief like Randy has a belief. It's just a little different. Your belief is that you will be allowed to feel joy when everything comes to completion. And yet, if you look at the evidence, joy is a condition which only exists now. It can't exist tomorrow. Like freedom. Certain things can only, in fact, all emotions only exist in this very moment. They are now time things. So we can't put conditions on them, but we do. Those are beliefs. And see, it's only that belief that causes the doubt to creep into the equation, or the lack of joy, if you want to call it that. So we have this exit ritual to go out, say, walking in joy. Walking is a present time experience. I can't walk yesterday and I can't walk tomorrow. I can walk right now. And so when I say walking in joy, I am setting up a present time condition, but if I'm in my head and my mind, I may miss it and not see it. It is an antidote to any foolishness going on in our universe around us, that whether we think we created those conditions or not, it really doesn't matter. Because I tell you what, as soon as you can walk in joy, as soon as you can experience that, you no longer are tied to any condition that you may have created. It does not matter. Because the magical rule of this universe says that the level of my being attracts the level of my life. And if I shift my being, now what was it, Dan, you said? What was that expression you read?
In a blink of an eye, you can change the direction of your life.
Okay, this is how. It is not an empty statement. Something has to be done. There has to be an act of power to accomplish that. In the blink of an eye, if I come into present time. Otherwise, you've got no lever. Anybody want to talk about that, or you all got it?
Got it.
What's that?
If I may say something here, in my situation, maybe I'm not giving it enough the joy. I'm not giving walking in joy enough credit.
Right.
But like I said, you know, when you have a high aim or something you expected to accomplish and it did not really, I have cause to be joyous because at least I'm a, but it did not really accomplish the way I was expecting it to.
All right, but see, you don't know. You don't know what caused that, though. You have to have the joy before, not after. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't. It's not a reward, my friend. It's a pre-ward. It's not, it comes before, not after. Walking in joy is what creates joy. It's what creates things coming about the way we want. So, what happens after joy, anybody? What would be the next thing that joy is a state, whether you realize it or not, of seeing exactly how things are? That's also the word apprehend. To apprehend something, to know it fully and significantly. to, what do you expect? What would you suspect would be the next thing you would have to experience or want to experience? Anybody?
Manifesting of whatever it was that you were...
Okay, okay. Would that be acceptance?
Yes.
Because the manifestation of something can only happen if I accept it.
True.
So then what we're doing this coming week is walking in acceptance. And don't get corny about it, and don't get socially scripted about it. Acceptance has nothing to do with the typical belief system that says, I have to accept something I don't like. That's not what acceptance is. Acceptance is to allow things to be as they are. Without pushing. Because until things are as they are, i.e. until you are where things are, nothing can change. Acceptance is the actual impulse which allows something then to change. And because we're now adding Earth, we now have a full day greeting and day ending. So we have winds of knowledge, walking in acceptance, I bid you good morning. Winds of power, walking in acceptance, I bid you good morning. Winds of feeling, walking in acceptance, I bid you good morning. Winds of strength, walking in acceptance, I bid you good morning. And that's to the north, of course. And your arms are extended out like as before, and your palms are raised up in the stop signal, how you would say stop to a charging bull and stop him in his tracks with a huge snort. And then after you do those four, you do Sky Father, walking in acceptance, I bid you good morning, with your arms raised in an upward V. And then you lower your arms to a downward V and do Earth Mother, walking in acceptance, I bid you good morning. And there you have six directions. Those are done to the east, not to the north. So you go east, south, west, north, east. The last two. And then, of course, the same for I bid you good night. And at this point, if you notice contrast within yourself, which is generally meaning within your mind, and what the exit ritual is asking, or saying, or claiming, it might be a good idea when you go in the morning to do your day greeting, to ask the winds and Sky Father and Earth Mother each in turn after you do the greeting, i.e. winds of knowledge, with walking in acceptance, I bid you good morning. And if you notice that you don't feel that you're in acceptance, then make some statement to them about, and I would like your help today in showing me how to live in acceptance or walk in acceptance. And then say that to each of the directions and then see what happens in your day. And if you do that, then at night be sure to thank them. As you go around saying good night, and then you say, and winds of knowledge, I thank you for your help in showing me how to walk in acceptance today. And I bid you good night, or I bid you good night, and I thank you for showing me how, and so forth. Does that cleared everybody. Any questions on that?
So you go through the greeting and then you go back around and ask for help?
No.
You
do it all at the same time.
Okay.
You go to each one, like I say, and then you go to the south, winds of power, walk in acceptance, I bid you good morning, and I ask you for help. And then winds of feeling. I bid you good walk in acceptance, I bid you good morning, and I ask your help in whatever it is. So yeah, you do it individually. You do the greeting, then the asking, and at night you do the greeting and you do the thanking. And later on, when we get on how to consecrate materials, you learn how to do that with offering sacred tobacco or sacred cornmeal and so forth that is consecrated for those purposes. But this is the beginning, a good place to start. And see what happens then. See what kind of an affinity you've built up with these beings and what they will do or can do for you. So, Dan, what did you do any things with your chalice that you'd like to tell us about, such as cleansings, night blessings, any sort of deals?
I cracked it.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't until I got it out today, this morning, and was going to do something, and I looked at it, and it has a crack starting at the at the upper part of the rim.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I remembered what you said about there must have been a flaw in it or something for it to have done that.
Yeah, as long as you keyed it properly, as long as you didn't change directions in the wiping.
No, I did all that correctly.
Okay. You were real careful that when you got to the rim, you kept going in the same direction you had been going.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I keyed an additional plate, and I don't know if it was just the experience of having done it again or what it was, but this plate, I could just really feel power in it. And I didn't feel that in the first time I did one.
Well, that's not that unusual. One of the things about keying that makes a little easier when we used to do it in class in person is that you get to watch really carefully what each person does. And even though at this point you all are probably pretty focused, if you really watch someone, it's interesting to see the deviations in movement and so forth that can occur. And of course, I can't see that with you all keying. So keying several times is not a bad idea at all. I taught a 2-hour workshop last week for a bunch of non-magically trained people, and I taught them how to do energy boxes. And it was amazing to watch people try to copy my hand movements. You all would have been shocked, I'm sure. I mean, these were pretty sophisticated, spiritually trained people doing all kinds of shamanic and other sort of things. Quite much of the time. And yet when it came to just a simple movement of taking your hands and doing the top and the bottom of a box, the front and the back of a box, and then both ends, you know, with your hands always parallel to one another, as you would have to do to hold a box, I'm saying to people, well, look at your hands. I mean, their hands would be flopping way out in space somewhere. They wouldn't have a clue. And they look at their hands and they still wouldn't know what I was talking about. So, that's what we call mechanicality. So good. So once you so keying another plate, you felt something quite different. So what would be really interesting is go back and key the first one again.
I did.
Did it feel different?
Yes.
Good. So there you showed yourself something. And of course, you do want to get another talus, but when you do, I would even re-key the cracked talus and see what happens.
Okay, it's the chalice was a metal chalice too.
Are you kidding me?
No.
No kidding.
Yep, and it's got a crack in it, probably a quarter of an inch long or longer.
Huh. What kind of metal?
All the way through. It's a silver plated something or other. I ordered it from one of the websites.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not cracked when I got it.
Yeah, I understand. Well, you can still use that probably for a standing protector. But it'd be just interesting to see what that crack does.
And you said try and key it again?
I would, when you're going to key your next one anyway.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, water blue glass chalices work really nicely because you don't have to pull from anything.
Water blue glass chalice?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you see them around Cost Plus or Pier 1, Walmart, Target. They're not too expensive. So you hadn't done anything else with your chalice this week?
No, I hadn't with the chalice. I did with the Atami.
What'd you do?
I set up two omnils.
Good. Did they work?
They're working so far.
Good. Okay. Randy, what's the thing that you do with your chalice or any of your tools?
Well, I didn't do anything, Alan, except get up. I'll get my crow cards and get them in order and start to key them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'll go around about that in just a minute.
Okay.
One thing I think you'll notice, when you're in a period where things aren't going as nicely as you would like,
mm-hmm.
If you would do more magical exercises,
all right.
You will find, because see, every time you do a magical exercise, that's an act of power.
Ah, you're right. Yeah.
And so what you're doing, see, what happens is when things aren't going the way we like, we always feel disempowered, right?
Yes.
And we feel like we're a victim.
Well, yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's true.
You don't. I mean, feeling like a victim doesn't have to be like a big deal. It's just when you feel like things are happening to you.
Yeah, well, I know that. Well, a lot of it I create myself. Probably all of it I create myself.
Well, but you see, even that is not necessarily a very realistic point of view because you don't actually know whether you do or you're not. You don't even know whether it's a good thing you're creating or not.
Yeah.
You're just looking at it and saying it feels bad, so therefore it is bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But you don't know because you might be, say, putting the brakes on a situation which by so doing might allow an incredible opportunity to show up in your life.
That is very possible.
So what is the point, therefore, of evaluating the situations that come in their lives.
Well, there's not much point in it, I guess.
There is none. Mm-mm. It is only a habit.
Yeah, it is a habit, and it's a bad habit, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's bad in that it accomplishes
nothing
higher result.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, but it is an effective way of punishing oneself.
Yes, that is true.
But I don't see anything in you that needs to be punished.
Yeah. I mean, if consider that there's only the present moment, then.
Well, what else do you have? What else do you own than the present moment?
Nothing.
Okay. So when you think your life is bad, stop yourself in that moment, go outside, do the exit ritual, whatever it is, and then ask yourself, or the winds, or somebody, am I okay right now?
Yeah.
Is anything terrible happening to me right now? Or is it the memory of something terrible that did happen, or I thought happened, or is it the expectation that something terrible will happen?
Yeah, it's generally of something from the past or the future that...
Okay, so then you're not alive now. You're in the past and the future.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you have no control over your life whatsoever.
When I'm in the past and the future, I would say you're correct.
That's right. And when you do an act of power, you are in the present.
That's true. Yeah.
So it's your choice, but this is the way it works.
All right.
Ellen?
Yes.
Would you talk that you put the different colored omules around you and pushed out things?
Right.
I found that very exciting and helpful.
Yeah. Right on. Because we don't have to endure these conditions. You're correct.
Yeah, at times during the week I was going to put up an omnial simply to push out stuff like Jennifer said, and then I got busy doing something and didn't do it.
Well, that's okay. But then realize that your priorities are so arranged that you still have the belief that all the things that you do in your life in a given day are the things which make your life work. And your life will never look any different than it does any day this week that you looked at it until you have a different belief.
Yes. Yes.
Now, that's not a criticism.
Oh, I know.
That's an actuality, and you're in a school which gives you the impetus and the conditions to discover that and to prove that to yourself by your own experience. So it doesn't matter how long it takes from our point of view, but it might matter from your point of view, unless you enjoy the suffering.
I see what you mean.
Cool. And Magnus, what kind of things did you do with your chalice or any of your tools?
I did send message. As a matter of fact, like I was saying, you know, when I was talking about day greetings, that maybe I'm not giving enough credit. Now we are going through this process. I came to think about it. I sent a message to a friend. It's like things were sometimes up and sometimes down, and I noticed something was, you know, it's kind of the downward trend. So I sent this message, which was a longer message. After sending the message, we had to meet in person. I noticed a change, and not just a change, a help I have been asking for a long time. It was like, I'm sorry, I forgot. Oh, please, I'll write it down. Please, I'll do. I mean, that very day we met in person, this request was done immediately on the spot. Even wrote everything, made a call and got the whole information, and I was really happy. Finally I got this thing taken care of.
See, but you didn't remember that when you were talking about walking in joy.
That is correct.
And you didn't remember it because your focus was on your perception that things were not happening as you wanted them to happen.
Yes.
And so that is the reality that you were creating right there in your own mind. And that's the reality you reported. But that was not actuality. That was only a fraction of actuality. And you can't really even say that because you can only say something didn't happen at the end of infinity if it never happened.
That's correct.
You can only say it hasn't happened yet. So thanks for sharing that. You know, and I'll tell you what, if you want to see more things happen quicker, start doing things with your chalice and your plate and your wand and your thumb, things like the night blessing with your chalice, which is a super thing to do. Even if you have to invite a friend over to do it with. I mean, do you live alone?
I live alone, yes.
Oh, okay. So it's hard to do if you live alone, but if you can't do it any other way, take the people you love, like your folks or friends or brothers and sisters, and mock them up and do the night blessing on them as a mock-up even.
Okay.
As though their spirit were there.
Hmm.
Because, you know, it would be great if you all would get together with people and practice, but don't let that stop you, for heaven's sake.
Well, is there some people, and I kind of live a funny kind of life, you know, try to stay away from, except when I'm at work, I mingle with people, but most of the time, if I'm not working, a lot of time I stay home and, you know, do the things I need to do, or maybe study.
I understand that. Yeah. But you see, also, to own magic, you have to practice it.
That's correct.
And so, if it is requiring us to come out of our patterns and start to seek out people for higher purposes, then that's what we do. So, Jennifer, what kind of things did you do with your chalice or tools of any kind?
I used them all. This was, well, 2 weeks ago I was having the sinus stuff. You said glycothymine worked well, and it does. And then it went kind of downhill. And I was thinking, well, I better get these tarot cards and make a trip up to Junction and that. And so I got to reading this class. And I thought, well, you know, I was feeling good. I shouldn't feel like that. So I read the thing on the cutting lines with the plate.
Right.
And then I watched the video. And I did it. And I scattered the lines first. I did that twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had I felt a daze for, like, I bet it was 15 minutes. I was just kind of in a daze. It was relaxing and nice, and then it come back. So the third time, I pushed brown back on the lines.
Mm-hmm.
And that hip problem always complaining about?
Yeah.
Well, Craig has a 80-year-old aunt that was supposed to come visit. Well, lo and behold, Aunt Fern fell and broke her hip.
Guess who the line was coming from?
Yeah, and then my back has been so terrible I couldn't hardly bend over. I went to the chiropractor twice, and it got better today. And I've been using the knife to sweep myself. I tried pulling things. The first time I swelled, I had a swelling problem, and I pulled that out with the chalice.
Good, good.
So the second time I went to the chiropractor, I really got things stacked up, I think. But it was still that jab that almost makes you fall down. So today, I used the chalice. I put water in the spine, and then I pulled water out. And my problem is gone.
Yeah, so that's persistence. You try different things.
It's just amazing.
Yeah, right on. And yeah, that cutting of lines, as we're going to talk about in a minute, is very powerful and very useful, since you can't cut lines for yourself with the athami, but you can with the plate. And isn't it amazing, like you know, that your aunt, for whatever reasons, just not necessarily because she wanted to affect you, it's what we're trained to do. You know, she may have been praying for your soul or God knows what.
Well, you know, I never liked her, but I figured it was because she hated me worse than she hated Craig. So Craig liked to go around with me. But I think she's drawing off of me.
Well, that is very possible that she is. You know, and probably more than you realize, because if you cut the line and sent brown energy back down the line, and she fell and broke her hip, you see, that's a pretty strong reaction.
But then mine got real sore, but it seems to be better now. And I hope it continues. I think it's been there a long time, and I'd have never thought that.
Yeah, right. We'd never suspect. But she's probably been muttering and mattering to herself about you for years, you know?
Yeah, I imagine. But, you know, it's good riddance to that. I wish.
Well, right. But you see, that's what some people live for, Jennifer. As ridiculous as it would seem.
Yeah, I have a hard time comprehending that.
Well, I understand that, but that is what being downtone is all about.
Yeah.
Downtone people play some horrendous games. Equally as ridiculous as, say, serial killers, what they do. It's just they're not quite at that level. But when you sit and focus on another person with hate, malice, resentment, envy, whatever, what the heck? Your life is going downtown, way downtown. That's the level of victim. That's right above, close to body death. So, I know it's shocking, but that is the world we live in. And it's what happens when cultural values go out the window, or when there are none, that are based on higher laws and rules of the road. So you did good work, and that's, and it does give result. And as you said, you have to keep trying different things and trying different versions of things. That's what we call cutting and fitting. So anybody have any questions on any of this before we talk about the plate and how to use it? Oh, we didn't talk about tarot keying, sorry. Dan, tell us about where you are with keying your deck and how it's going.
I will be doing that intensively this coming week.
Okay, cool. If you have any problems, come to lab, okay?
Okay.
Randy, what was it like? You said you got that process started.
Just started. I got my cards in order and... actually was going to try to key some today and didn't make it.
Okay, so you're ready to do it.
Yep, absolutely
okay.
Ready.
Good. Magnus, where are you at with that?
I'm getting ready to do it. Not quite. I opened up the pack in the week and something caught my attention. I kind of decided to leave it and do it when I can concentrate.
Okay.
But I never got to do it till today.
Okay. So you, but you got your deck. That's good.
Yes.
And go ahead and put it in natural order before you start keying it. Jennifer, where are you at with that?
I have a deck.
You have a deck. Good.
Yes.
Good.
Mine says the Rider Waite Tarot deck. Is that what we want, 78 cards?
Yeah.
Okay, and then we open them up and smoke them and then put them in natural order and start in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Cool. Okay. So the plate. Very useful tool. And has anyone not yet keyed their plate? Okay, so I don't have to talk about that. And by the way, there is one statement in both the chalice and the plate keying that I hope I corrected for you all, but there's something that says about don't lift the cloth up from the chalice or the plate. Well, you have to lift it up to re-dip it in the salt water and salt, because you want to keep it re-dipping it. So that's no problem. I don't know why it says, do you all know what I'm talking about, where it says, it's on item 7. It says, without stopping or lifting the cotton cloth from the plate, wipe the rim of the plate, then turn the plate over and continue wiping the back of the plate in the same direction. Okay. And it says, the wiping should be in one smooth, continuous stroke. Well, basically, yes, but, you know, yeah, I probably on a dinner plate would lift it up and re-dip 4 or 5 times on the front, 4 or 5 times on the back. You just keep track of where you are. And you can even start back like you do with room cleansing to cover your tracks a little bit, you know, back up a little bit, but keep going in the same direction. So just make sure you have that in your notes so that you don't think, oh, don't dare lift it up. Got to dip it, get it really soggy wet. Don't have to pick it up. Not true. With the dry one, you can keep, but even that, if you need to lift it up to get around the other side of the stem of the chalice, it's not a problem. Okay. So cutting lines with your plate. The first thing is to feel for the lines. And there are a couple of ways you can do that. And this, of course, you need to have a key plate to do this, but you don't charge it or anything. And you don't pull any color into it or the initial feeling for lines. You just take your plate, stag to ease if you want, and you walk around in a circle holding the plate out about waist level, shoulder level, whatever, it doesn't matter. You can either hold it, there are two ways to do it. You can either hold it in your output hand or your input hand. If you hold it in your input hand, then you put your output hand, let's see, in front of the plate, I believe it is. Let's see, hold your output hand, your input hand with the palm facing away from you behind the center plate. The front of the plate should face away from you, or, and your output hand, that's hard to interpret that, isn't it? Let's see, hold the plate in your input hand. With your input arm slightly extended chest height, hold your output hand with palm facing you in front of the plate. That's what I said. Okay. I gave you the second one first. Do you all follow this?
Yeah.
You take the plate, hold it in your input hand, your left hand, for most people. Put your right hand out in front of the plate. The plate is facing away from you. And the reason for that is because you want to use that hand to feel the energy of a line when it strikes the plate and bounces off the plate onto your hand. That way you'll feel it as you go around. Or the alternate way is to hold the plate in your output hand and put your input hand behind the plate, meaning you'll feel the line coming through the plate. So why two ways? Because there are generally two things that people will do. They'll either pull energy from you, which means that you would feel it better bouncing, coming off the plate, so to speak, or they control you, and that's a stronger, that's more of a push than a pull. So you would feel the push of their energy by holding your input hand behind the plate and walking around in a circle. So either way you do it, you will either feel a hot spot, spiky energy, or cold energy with either your input or your output hand, whichever one is free. And when you do, stop there. And take your plate, hold it in both hands, thumbs together at the center of the back of the plate, fingers on either side of the rim, and just push the plate away from you against the line. And that snaps it. So then there are others, if that doesn't take care of it, okay, so then they're giving you, in this, they're snapping the line, scattering it, or snapping the line. You can change the direction of the plate to either scatter it or focus it, obviously. And then also, if that isn't strong enough, you can do the focusing, i.e. the facing the face of the plate is away from you, facing the incoming line, and pull brown energy, earth brown energy, into your arms and up into the plate, and then push that brown energy back on the line that you snapped, or when you snap it, either one, which gives more energy going back on the person. And if that doesn't work, if you really got something strong and vicious or malicious, perhaps indicating someone that is using trained magic against you, then hold the plate in your input hand in the area of the line, and before you push down the line, with your output hand pulling from any source of electric blue, draw a lemniscent in the air on the line, which is a figure eight on its side, drawn clockwise, basically, i.e. starting and going up and to the right and down through and then back over. Just draw a figure eight. It's electric blue, and then grab the plate with both hands and push that up the line. Now, lemniscent technology is virtually unknown on this planet. However, it's extremely effective. And what that does, because that's an infinity sign, and when you draw it or create it in electric blue against someone, i.e., if you were confronting, one student did this in Las Vegas, no less, was in Las Vegas having a grand time with slot machines and poker, whatever, I don't know, blackjack probably. And they were in one of the casinos and they saw this guy perched up on, as I recall the story, on one of the slot machines, glaring sort of maliciously at him and said, "Trained magician, huh? Think that AMLO is going to help you?" And this cat, being a rather strong-natured person, said, well, maybe not, but try this, and drew a lens of an electric blue and pushed it against the person and left him sitting there struggling with the lens for the rest of the evening. When he left, the guy was still sitting there trying to figure out how to deal with it. Because what a lens does is, it does the opposite of whatever you do, as long as you struggle with it. If you try to pull away from it, it pulls away from you, pulls back again. If you try to push on it, it pushes back on you. And it will gather the entire force of the universe to do that. No matter how much energy you use, it will always equal your energy. But as soon as you let go, as soon as you accept it, as soon as you stop pushing or pulling, it floats away and dissipates. Now, consider the rules of the road about lines. From rules of the road standpoint, lines are not proper. They're not appropriate. We don't go around putting lines on people for control or for draining their energy. So, therefore, when you snap a line and send a little message, so to speak, with either Earth Brown or the line itself or a lens if necessary, it is instructive, it is not retribution. You are not breaking rules of the road. So Jennifer didn't knock her aunt down and break her aunt's hip. Her aunt did that herself, to herself, the level of one's being attracting the level of one's life. Her beingness caught up with her. High time. Because how else is she going to get the message? And you can, of course, cut lines on another person, as it mentions here, by going around them. Do your own first, though, so you know what you're cutting. And, of course, what is the ninja rule? Anybody know the ninja rule? What's the ninja rule of self-defense? Somebody knows it.
No?
Go ahead, Dan.
Well, the only guess that I can make is that strike with as much ferocity as you can manage and then run away.
That's a nice try. The ninja rule is never defend or attack with resentment. Do it with clear conscience.
Could you explain that?
Well, you know, ninjas were used for executing people.
Okay.
You're aware of that?
I don't.
Well, that was the old tradition. They were executioners. They were given a target person to kill. And they were to kill without leaving signs of, you know, that they did it. But one of the laws of the ninja code was that you could not do it if you had anger or resentment towards that person, you couldn't do it. You had to wait till you had clear consciousness.
But why it's kind of confusing is, how would you be able to kill the person when you don't have any anger towards the person?
Well, that's just an act of power. Mm. How do you do anything without anger? Do you need anger to motivate anything? Anger is not a very useful motivator. Because it sets up too many you know, red orange energy has too many other things it can be. It can give you pain, fever, all kinds of other things. Now, if it is true with self-defense, if you need to develop a lot of red-orange energy to take a person down, that would be a good use for anger. That's a little different. There, you're only using the anger as a tool.
Okay.
But if you're going to pull out a gun or a saber and cut the person's head off, you don't need anger, do you? You've got another tool. And in that case, see, in the case where you use anger to raise your red orange energy, is that really anger?
Not really.
No, it's not. It's just a red orange motivator. Everybody okay with all of that, or does somebody want to question any of that? You're allowed to question things.
There's really no way you can tell where the lines are or who gave them to you or anything, is there? Or will you develop that?
Well, there's a couple of ways. Did you not know where that line came from?
No, I just knew I scattered them and it felt good.
Well, now, wait a minute. When your aunt fell down and broke her hip, did you have any question as to where that line came from?
Well, I decided there weren't coincidences.
Well, that's how you tell.
Okay.
You tell by who gets the line.
But I just knew that I didn't feel right, and then I did that, and then I found that out.
Right, I understand. But that's how you tell. You look at who bears the scars. Just remember what we talked about, like, if you have a watcher and you start doing things to the watcher, which is a projection, and you affect the sender, and you get to see who was affected, then you know who sent the watcher. It's the same thing.
Can you explain the watcher again?
In terms of?
Well, say someone sends the watcher. Someone we have ties with?
Not necessarily.
Oh, just someone can send a watcher.
Yeah, yeah. The more that you learn and raise your power level, your ability level, your knowledge level, the more obvious you become. In certain circles, anyway. And so, someone may sense your energy field and say, aha. And this particularly can happen when you're traveling, too. If you go into somebody else's area and they, say, tend to dominate that area as their sort of magical playground, so to speak, and they are interested in issues of power and control, and they sense that someone else with ability is in their area, a lot of times they'll want to know who it is and what is it, and what do they know? And they'll seek you out, often out of body, and then say you have an electric blue envelope, and they'll see that, and then they know you're trained.
Mm.
And then they want to check you out, but they can't get through your envelope. But they might be able to get a watcher through because you may not have keyed it for that, you see?
Yes.
So that would be one way. And as I said, most of you will probably never have the experience of seeing or finding a watcher in your area. But it would be irresponsible of me not to teach you about it. irregardless. You would not have complete knowledge.
I have a, when I bought my tarot deck, they had that David Blaine's book out in paperback. You know, that guy who froze himself and all that stuff?
No, tell me.
Well, he's wrote a book. I seem to have to buy it. I don't know why. But he goes through magic and all that stuff. And at the very end, there's a contest to find the $100,000.
Oh, okay.
But you have to ID yourself and all that. And I can sure see where that's, like, just showing them who's out there.
Could be.
You'd get a watcher then, I bet.
It's possible. Or you would be sort of being tracked, so to speak. There's a lot of games out there. A lot of games.
Can I address the ties again? It seems to me that I mean, if I create my own discontent or unhappiness that I feel is through another person, then I think that I probably have made those ties and either don't want to let them go or whatever. I have a hard time seeing how they have created the ties.
Are you talking about lines now?
Lines, I mean. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Lines, yes.
So, now your original premise was if you have done what?
If I am suffering because of in discontent because of whatever of my situation currently.
Okay.
And you know, it could have reference to someone I was with in the past or
right, I got it.
Seems like those lines would have been lines that I made.
On them.
Yeah.
Possibly.
If you were dwelling
on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But does that mean that they're not having lines on you?
Hmm. Well,
you won't feel your own lines.
Oh, okay. But I can feel, I won't be able to feel my own, but I can feel theirs.
Right.
Hmm. I'm going to have to test it out tonight.
Yeah, if you're putting out lines, they're too close to you for you to feel with the plate.
Oh.
But you know the remedy for that?
No.
Stop doing it. That's all you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you are having negative thoughts and feelings about someone, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go there.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not having negative thoughts and feelings about them. I'm having negative thoughts and feelings about
yourself.
Myself as it related to that relationship.
Okay. That's karma. That's the law of misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
Are you required to have those feelings and thoughts?
No.
No. That's what you're doing to yourself.
Yeah.
Stop doing it.
Okay.
So what color Omnia would you make and push those thoughts out?
Air, wand. White.
Mm.
Those are beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, what you're doing is holding yourself accountable for something that you've already paid for. What's
yeah.
the point of it?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
You paid for it by the things you attract to you and the reactions from people around you and events around you, because that always happens in present time. Since you've already paid for it, as soon as you go to forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
what do you think the word means? Forgiving.
separated into two words. It is for giving freedom.
For giving what?
Freedom.
Freedom. Yeah.
And what do you think forgetting is? When you forget the terrible things that people have done to you, you are doing an act for getting freedom.
Yeah. Yes.
So most of what people call karma is self-induced, and it's absurd. Magically, it has nothing to do with anything. I had a partner one time years ago who understood this so well that whenever he did something that other people didn't like or thought wasn't so nice or proper or whatever, you know, and they would confront him, he would just smile and say, "Guess I've got egg on my face, huh?" And that was it.
Yeah.
And if it was a money dispute, either regardless of the amount, and I've seen him do it many times, he'd stand there instead of arguing with the other person, he would pull out a coin, a quarter, whatever, and say, "Call it, heads or tails," and flip for it. I've seen him do it for $10,000 even. But you know what? He always won. Because he didn't care.
Yeah.
He didn't load the result. He knew what he wanted, but he didn't load the result.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yep.
So, healing with your plate. Obviously, you can either deliver grass green or earth brown energies for healing in a cone shape off of your plate. It focuses a cone-type beam, and it's useful to hold your plate and pull energy in through your elbows and focus it off the plate. If you can see it, great. If you can't see it, generally just get into yourself or another person that's fairly sensitive and move the plate in closer, further away from their body until they can feel the energy on their skin. And that'll give you a sense of how far does your plate focus. And then you can estimate the depth of what you need to do with the plate that way, because if you're healing a bone that's broken, say, with grass green and then earth brown, grass green to grow it back together, cement it back together, earth brown to strengthen it later on, you know about what depth, how close you need to move the plate. You can move it around in little clockwise spirals around the break and so forth. And the person should be able to feel it. Now, if a person is very insensitive, maybe they don't. Well, that's okay. But most people will feel it. It'll feel much like what a broken bone feels like when it knits anyway. There's two general sensations you get when you do it with a plate. One is sort of an itching feeling, quite pronounced sometimes, or a tingling feeling right around the bone. The bone itself has no sensation, but the periosteum around the bone does. And you also get a knitting feeling. Just like something is weaving inside, which it is. And oftentimes it'll feel as though it is in the bone, irregardless of whether the bone has sensation or not, which doesn't matter. Much like I've done acupuncture on people with, what do they call, artificial limbs. that get phantom pain, and they can feel the point in their, you know, sometimes I just put it right in the artificial limb, and they can feel it, and it works. Generally, with most fractures or breaks, you can generally cement it within a minute or two or less, depending on how bad it is. You can do it several times. The sensation of a broken bone is unlike any other sensation. If you've ever had one, you know what I mean. It has an ache that is unearthly, different from a sprain or any muscle problem or tendon problem. Which is to say that most people, even if they've never broken a bone, when they do break a bone, they know it's broken. There is no question in their minds, unless they don't trust themselves at all. That's a broken bone. i.e., you know you don't want to walk on it or use it. It just, you know it. And that sensation goes away instantly when it is fused. It may still not be real strong, so you want to be careful. But then over the next several days to a week, you can add earth brown and strengthen it. With bruises or sprains, obviously you want to pull the fire out first, or sweep the fire out, or both. And then it is good to use the talus before you rebuild the energy with the plate, to get as much of the sort of damaged material out, swelling, whatever, wash it out, because it's harder to get new tissue to grow if you have damaged tissue in the area. This is also true, for instance, with the lungs, if you know anybody that has emphysema. Medically, they have said emphysema, there's no cure for emphysema, which is really a shame because there is. It's actually very easy to cure. The problem is that it will not, you cannot regenerate lung tissue as long as there is old, fried lung tissue there. That has to be broken up and washed away first, and then immediately new tissue will start to grow, and very quickly. It will not grow as long as that old material is there. I've seen that happen many times.
You said not to use the chalice in the heart and lung areas.
Yeah, I would be careful about using the chalice, but you can sweep with the wand.
And once that's swept away, will they start to feel the regeneration, or do you need to put green in there?
They may not feel the regeneration, but they will breathe better. As soon as the old material is broken up, they'll breathe better. What you could do is what you did. You put water in the spine, pull water out of the spine. You could put a little water in the lung area. I would try to do it selectively in small areas and then pull it right back out. With tumors, you have to make sure that you've killed them first before you rebuild the area around with the plate, because otherwise grass green, if you're using grass green, it will cause the tumors to grow. And that's a funny thing in a way, because well, most of you probably don't know, but some of you may, that I had a skin cancer deal, a tumor, or whatever you want to call it, on my face. And I worked on it for a couple of years. I did all these things and never was able, I kept it pretty stable for a long, long time. It never got very big. But I was never able to get rid of it. And it was only recently I began to realize why. It's because I did too many viable things. I was putting algae on it and using the violet ray on it and doing a lot of things which rebuild things, energize things. So I was doing some of both. I was doing some things that would kill it and some things that would re-energize it. And the net was it pretty much stayed the same, but it never went away. Internal bleeding or external bleeding. And this, even if you have a person that has a platelet problem, brown energies are very useful to stop those. Again, just be careful. Obviously, you're not going to put brown energies in the heart or the lungs. And small amounts only in the stomach. And once the bleeding has stopped, then you can wash away any residual brown with the chalice.
Now, would you use boxes or the plate?
Well, the plate, because you have a more accurate beam.
Oh. And then just for a short period, or?
Yeah. Right.
And then you say wash away. Is that, am I thinking like under the faucet washing, or?
How would you wash the stomach under the faucet?
Well, I mean the chalice, like a bunch of it in there and it'll fall out the finger.
How much? Yeah, you can flow, particularly in a water area, like because digestion, you know, we put water in the stomach all the time. So you can flow a lot of water through the stomach, which is kind of useful anyway.
But do you just leave it there, or do you pull it back out, or?
No, I would just flow it in and let the body process move it out.
Okay.
Because you're not, it's not the same quite. If you flow in a downward direction, it's sort of like creating a river through something. It isn't like filling it up like a water bowl. If you want to fill an area with water, just beam your chalice directly in. If you want to flow something through something, come up at start at a higher angle upward from above and flow through in a downwards manner. Because you're honoring the body flows. And they'll help you. A lot of these things with the tools take practice. You don't get as good a sense of your results if you don't do a fair amount of it. And since perhaps some of you are not, say, professional healers or in that mode, you kind of don't tend to practice these things because you don't see yourself as a healing person, which is an unfortunate limiter, because I tell you what, there are people everywhere that desperately would probably love to have your help. And if you have a little confidence, even if it's just hands-on, even without tools, just pulling headaches, pulling shoulder pain. I was in Amarillo, Texas with some folk one time a couple of years ago, and great big guy, chap I know. We were talking about magic. They were thinking maybe they might want to study magic or something, and he said, well, You mean you can actually pull the pain out of my shoulder that I've had for years and I can't get, I've tried every which way? I said, yeah, probably so. He says, show me. That kind of person. So I pull some red iron jet. He says, I can feel it leaving. He couldn't believe it. He was shocked. And then it was gone. And he still, every time I talk to him on the phone, this is not very often, but he'll still say, that pain has never came back. How did you do that? Because he would never bother to study the course. But he still can't believe that that happened. That's the way people are. Some people, anyway. Questions on use of the plate? Anyone? And of course, we've talked about using it to protect divination, to protect doing readings, to protect your chalice. You can, any operation you do, like with a candle spell, you use on a plate, on a key plate, or which we'll get to down the road a bit. Or if you want to do scrying with your chalice, put it on your plate. It just makes a nice protector. Whether you use candles on either side or not, it's still a nice protector.
So does the plate have to hold everything? Or is there some protection if it's off to the side of it, touching the table? Or
generally, its protection is best when something is on it. But you know, you can key as many plates as you want. I mean, you can key platters. You can key trays, you can key anything that's plate-like. You could key your dining room table, almost. I mean, that'd be a little hard, but... But certainly a large platter. If you wanted to keep things protected on it. Questions or comments on the plate? Anyone else? Magnus?
No question for now.
Dan?
No, everything's pretty clear for the moment.
Randy?
I'm just going to have to practice.
You don't have to practice, but you can do yourself a huge gift. Give yourself a gift and have fun with your tools.
All right.
Go wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's your new career. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
Okay, you guys. Well, I hope Helen's okay.
Yeah. I hadn't heard from her.
Well, you could give her a call.
Certainly will. I'll call her back again.
Yeah. Be persistent. Hey, get your ear over here and let's cut the line.
Yeah. Definitely.
Helen?
Yeah.
When we bought the chalice and the plate, if there's a pattern on it, it's not carved deeply? Why?
Just because if there's too deep, like a embossed plate, say, it's harder to key it. It's just harder to wipe it. You know, if you had a plate that, like, was deeply in, you know, like a handmade plate that somebody then took a tool and carved out a big pattern, you would have trouble every time you got to that ridge or that in the trough to get the cloth in it.
Okay.
It just make it difficult to key it, don't you see? Other than that, it doesn't matter. But since, you know, I mean, it's easy to find plates that they can be decorative but don't have obstacles in terms of And also, the more irregularity on the surface, the more that's going to diffuse the beam, too, to some extent. Patterns don't matter, but you know what I mean, if it were deeply cut. Of course, if you have a brown plate or a green plate, there again, you don't have to pull from anything. Okay. Well, thank you all. Have lovely fun with your tools.
Thanks, Alan.
And work, get your tarot decks keyed, because, I'll tell you why, because next week is divination, and the week after is the introduction to the tarot and going through the major arcana. The week after that, we will actually start doing readings. And if anyone would like to have a Celtic Cross reading in class done, you might email me, let me know. So because I have to do the readings ahead of time so that we can send them out, so you've got them, so you can, you know, follow along as we discuss the readings in class.
Hmm.
So that's the first ones we'll do is Celtic Cross, and then the week after that we'll do 12 cards. And I'll tell you what, you need to find people to do readings with.
Okay.
If you don't, you're not going to learn the tarot.
All right.
It's the only way. So,
Alan?
Yeah.
Did I hear St. Jennifer say that you were supposed to smoke tarot deck before you started with it?
You don't have to. You can four element cleanse it if you wish. You don't have to.
Okay.
That's just, you know, I mean, I generally like doing that. I mean, even if you started keying it, you can still, you know, you can even finish keying it and then cleanse it. But I mean, it would make more sense to do it before you keyed it, just in case, you know, sort of like if somebody handled the deck in the store and was, at the time they were handling it, arguing and having a battle with somebody else, and they imprinted some of that energy into the overall deck, so to speak, you could take the whole box and in the box, out of the box, or whatever, and just do a four-element cleansing on it.
What was the question again?
If we had to do a cleansing on the tarot deck before keying it.
Okay.
And the answer was you don't have to, but you can.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right, everyone. Good night.
Good night, Alan.